everyone, and welcome to Author to Author. This is Bill Knauer, and we like to talk here about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you most want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you most want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org. And we are funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. To learn more about the PNWA and their world-class yearly writers' conference, please go to pnwa.org. So, what it takes to write the book you most want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you most want to lead. Well, if anyone understands that, it is today's guest, and that is Natalie Goldberg, who first sort of burst onto the scene in, I think it was 1986, when she published Writing Down the Bones, which sold an astounding 1.5 million copies. And I say astounding because it was ostensibly a book about writing. But I have to tell you, I don't think it ever would have sold that much if it was just about writing. I think it's really more about life, as is her most recent book, The True Secret of Writing. Natalie's published a lot of books in between Writing Down the Bones and her most recent. And she's done a lot of teaching also. And although I've never been her student, and in fact, I've never even met her, from what I understand, having read her work, she really uses writing as a portal into life. That's what I think, but we don't have to take my word for it. She's on hold now and waiting to talk to you, and we can ask her herself. Natalie, you are on the air. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. I'm happy to be there with you.
Well, it's great to have you in, have you on the show. What do you think about that? As I said, our sort of motto is what it takes to write the book you want to write is what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. And it seems to me you teach people as much about life as you do about just writing.
Yes. What I really teach is what I call a priori writing. I teach writing practice. So a priori writing is before you write a novel or a screenplay or an essay or, whatever. It's learning to have a writing practice which builds a strong spine, a relationship with your own mind, and what is the real tool of a writer? But pen, paper, computer, and the human mind. The better you get to understand your mind, the better you can work with it. Also, a confidence in your experience that what you have experienced is valuable enough to write about.
Yes.
And also a relationship with your obsessions, because often your obsessions are what fuel your work.
Yes.
And so
yes,
it's good to know what they are.
Yeah. You know, when I think of obsessions, I think of love, actually, because obsession, I think, in its best form is a kind of very focused love. And I always think about what Mozart said, and I'm paraphrasing here, about genius. He said it's not craft, it's not skill or talent. He said it's love, 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 love. That was his definition of genius.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, it's a deep, in a way, passion, your obsession, when you recognize it and work with it and use that energy, it turns over from an obsession, which sometimes can reduce your life, into a passion, which opens your life.
Yes.
And so,
oh, that's
yes,
so true.
Yeah, and passion, really, what is passion but love? Big love.
Yes. Big love.
That's wonderful.
You know, Natalie, this book, your most recent, called The True Secret of Writing, I love the title, and I've been to a great many writers' conferences, and I feel that a lot of the denizens of those conferences are scuttling around looking for just that, the true secret of writing. Give it to me in a nutshell, right? But it's sort of an ironic title, isn't it? Just a little bit.
Yes, it is. And I say this, I think, in the first paragraph of the introduction.
Yes.
It came out originally because when a student was late in my workshop, sometimes I'd tease them and say, "Why, Marvin, I'm so sorry you were late. Just a minute ago, I told the true secret of writing, and I'm only able to do that every 5 or 10 years. I'm so sorry you missed it." But what I'm really saying is, be on time. This is your moment. Go for it. But I also want to point out that if anyone tells you that they have the secret or the answer, run for the hills, because it's dangerous. Life
Absolutely.
Is very, you know, complicated, and it's not one true secret.
No, and I'm glad you said that, because one of my jobs, as well as a writer, is I interview writers like yourself doing this show and with the videos I do on the magazine. I talk to hundreds of writers about what they go through when they're writing. And if I've learned anything from talking to all these people, it's that there's as many ways to do it as there are people who write. There is every time I think there is one rule you can't break, I meet someone who's breaking it, you know, quote unquote, and there
exactly.
they are.
Exactly, and actually, you have to keep breaking rules to make it fresh. Otherwise, it doesn't stay alive. But with all that said, in the last paragraph of the epilogue, I do give you the true secret of writing.
Should we give it to them now, or should they buy the book and find out for themselves?
I think they should buy the book. They should
buy
the book, but the truth is, for 30 years, I've been telling everybody the true secret, but it's very austere, and nobody wants to hear it, because it's not about building a studio, getting fancy notebooks, or going to your therapist and discussing why you can't write. It's a very austere thing, but I guarantee you, it will get writing done.
Yeah, yes, it will. Yes, it will. And I should say that you said something early on when you were sort of defining what your work as a teacher is. And I thought it was great, because you talked about getting to know your mind. And writing, for me, the more I do it, becomes a deeper and deeper journey into, I guess, my consciousness, or my relationship with my imagination, which is sort of, for me, one of the expressions of God. And so that, for me, has been the journey. And it just goes in and in and in. The more I do it, the further in I go. I don't know if it's been that way for you.
Oh, it's definitely true. You really learn to settle the self on the self. Does that make sense? We're always disparate and all over the place, and you just settle deep in there. And writing is just wonderful. It opens things. And that's why I teach it as a practice, as something you show up and you do, whether you like it or not, and whether you're writing well or not. You keep that relationship going. And in keeping that relationship, you begin to have a real depth with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's very true. One of the best writing sessions I had recently, I've mentioned this a few times, but it was about 2 months ago, and I usually write for about 2 hours in the morning, and I was working on a chapter, but I knew what I wanted to have happen, but I didn't know what the angle it would be. And I spent 2 hours not writing, but not panicking either. Do you understand? I was not writing, but I was focusing my attention, and I could not have done this 20 years ago, I have to tell you. But by the very end, I saw it, the way revealed itself, but I wasn't panicking, I wasn't beating myself up, and it came. And I considered it one of my most triumphant moments in my long writing journey.
Wow. So what did you do for those 2 hours you didn't write?
I focused the lens of my imagination again and again and again. I could feel the thing I wanted to write, but I couldn't see it. And so I let myself just turn that diamond in my mind, which is the sort
of... Without doing it? Without physically writing?
Yeah, without physically writing. Because I don't want to start until I'm there. And then when it did happen, it was like meditation. It really was. It was before I was meditating, and I was like, I bet, and then I started meditating. Well, I guess it was after I'd started meditating, but it was like the deepest kind of meditation, and it was fantastic. I was almost observing myself as I was doing it, saying, why aren't you panicking, Bill? Normally you panic at this time, but I didn't. It was great. And then, and then it came through.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. You know, it's odd because usually I work it out in those 2 hours by keeping my hands moving.
Right.
But maybe that meditation was so clear for you because you had a goal. You weren't just sitting there. You knew you wanted to settle, and you were paying attention to that.
I enjoy the settling. I enjoy the stillness.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah, and we're all afraid of it, but really it's the best.
It is. And you teach that. That's part of your teaching and your retreats. It's silent retreats. There's really no talking except unless you read your work. And I guess at the end you can talk, or you talk about books sometimes.
Yeah, read your work aloud. And but otherwise it's in silence. And one of the reasons is writers often dissipate most of their energy. And they tell their stories and they throw them away.
Yeah.
And they talk about what they're going to write about and then they never do it. So learn, and also the other half of writing and words is no words. So we have to become familiar with both sides.
Yes, and I think, for me, writing is about perception. Language is important, but for me, I must see the thing clearly, and then the words come easily. And so it's become, for me, a discipline of perception. And to get tangled up in words, I can lose track of the thing I'm trying to do, which is to see clearly within my, you know, within my imagination. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. But, you know, you're probably a visual person. You know, some people hear it. Like when I start to write, I hear something way over and I'm going after it. I want to know what it is I hear.
And do you write
more
towards it?
Auditory.
Yeah.
But you do have to make the reader see what you're writing about. You can't just say, I'm in love, it was so much fun. Keep the reader outside because they don't get what you're talking about.
No,
that's
the old... That's right.
A cow or a cupcake or a person. You have
to
tell the person.
Yes, you do. You have to be specific. I always try to replace, when I'm teaching people, I always try to get them to replace the concept of good writing with accurate writing. And accurate, because only you know what you're seeing, so you've got to be accurate. And and you talk about specificity, and that's where the accuracy comes in, being very specific and not general in the craft of it.
Detail, because that's what the world is. You look around you, the world is full of detail. There's nothing abstract going on. You know, we're trained in education to abstract and move further and further away from experience. But really, to write, you have to be deeply connected to your experience.
Yeah. Nabokov said, caress the divine detail, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well,
Van der Rohe, the great architect, said, God hides in the details.
That's right. Well, you're not you. You know, you're you. You're not the person next to you, and you're not just a person. You're not just a woman. You're you, and all that you are is made up in your details.
Yes, exactly. And you know, people don't realize that you're born with a specific mother at a specific time and place.
That's right.
You're going to die in a specific time and place at a specific age. We don't even dream in the abstract.
Uh-uh.
You know, the details might be, you know, a little odd, but they're details.
Yeah. And speaking of death, death sort of hovers over the true secret of writing in one way or another. And I love the way you handle it. And I think it's important because I tell you, the more I write and the more I read, the more I feel like death is present in almost every single book that's written. In some way or another, it's there. Because it's so much a part of the human experience, whether we acknowledge it or not.
Yes, I completely agree. Impermanence. And and this book, yes, is permeated with death. Not in a bad way, but as one of the truths of existence.
Well, and it's something writers are always, because one of the, you know, writers have to contend, whether writing suspense or romance or memoir or poetry, they have to, so much of what it is to be human is the fact that unlike, say, squirrels and rabbits maybe, we have the imagination to be able to imagine that the fact that we're going to die, and that affects us forever. And it's in every single work of, it's throughout all of literature and all of human history, really, that fact that we just can't
take
our eyes off.
Well, it also grounds in some deep truth. But also the other thing that squirrels don't do, squirrels don't read or write.
That's right.
It's very much a natural human activity, and it should be available to everyone.
Yeah, you really are like a ambassador of writing in a way.
Yes, I am.
Aren't you? You're really saying, look, this is great for us. So someone said, I don't like to do it, it's boring, it doesn't work, what would you say to them?
I'd say, oh, okay, sit down and start complaining to me. Put pen to paper, go, 10 minutes. Complain to me why you don't like writing. Or I'd say, okay, now, 10 more minutes, go. Tell me everything you remember about mashed potatoes. They think it's boring and they don't like it because they don't realize it can be anything and go any place.
Yeah. Don't you think the way we teach writing, the way, say, public schools, doing all they can, but that there is this tendency to teach it not as this means of actual expressing what matters to you, but sort of a series of hoops that you have to jump through to get the grade or something, but not as a means of expressing what you care about.
Yeah, well, I think that I realized very young that I couldn't learn to write through school because of the way it was taught. I just couldn't get it. And so when I wrote Writing Down the Bones, I spent a long time studying the mind through sitting Zen, and then I figured out making writing a practice, and it took it out of good or bad or right or wrong, and it gave me a freedom. And when I wrote Writing Down the Bones and it came out in 1986, I think I broke a paradigm in the way America sees writing and approaches it. And all of a sudden, everybody was writing because a lot of people want to write but didn't know how to get inside it.
Yeah.
And so this really helped.
They didn't know how to make it their own, probably, right? Make it theirs.
Yeah. It became more, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, what did I do for my summer vacation? It was really fun. It was really nice. I had a good time. It was interesting. I didn't know that I could give the real details. I played Parcheesi all summer in my backyard, drinking Coca-Colas and 7-Ups in red shorts. You know, I didn't know that I could do that. I just had to be nice, I thought.
Well, you know, it's funny. Maybe you had changed the world by the time I had come around. It was like in college. No, actually, I was in college before then. So, but I remember I learned a secret, which was teachers would give me an assignment, and I really wanted to be a writer from the get-go. You know, that was it. And so they'd give us some assignment. I think, oh, how boring. I thought, I'll just do whatever I want to do, more or less.
Oh, you were smart.
I was entertaining because I like to tell stories and I like to write. And lo and behold, they did not care. They just wanted to be, it was so much easier to read mine because I at least was trying to amuse them and writing something interesting to me. And I thought, oh, I see, it doesn't really matter. They don't know what they want, or they say they do, but they don't really know, maybe.
No, can you imagine reading like 20 boring things? How wonderful. If you... you know, they suddenly read something new and a topic they hadn't even thought of.
That's right. Yeah, I was a little rebel, but it helped. I think it helped them, and it helped me realize the rules maybe aren't what we think they are.
Exactly. Yeah, we believe them too much. If I followed all the rules and believed them, I would have never developed writing practice.
All right, so
we have to go outside of what we think. What we've learned.
Yeah. Because life is evolutionary, our work is evolutionary, and evolution is change, And you've got to keep looking, expanding. I mean, every writer I interview, no matter how many books they've written, that book taught them something they didn't know before.
Absolutely. Why would you write a book if you already know everything? You write as it's an activity in discovery.
Yeah, it is. Do your students, I mean, you've been teaching for so long, and I can't imagine how many students you've had, but do your students, is that easy for them to understand that it's an exercise in discovery, or is that hard for them to get?
No, they experience it. I don't talk very much. I get them writing. And in the activity of writing, they physically experience all the things I could tell them about writing. So then when I tell them, they can acknowledge it because they've just experienced it.
Right. You just let, okay. And, you know, I would think it's very important. I've never met you except as we've been speaking for the last 15 minutes, but I would suspect you create, I think this is critical for if you're actually writing and sharing your work, what's a very sort of safe environment,
yes,
for the students.
Yeah,
is that a goal?
Yes, I have a safe environment, but I'm also very tough. There's a very strong structure, like when it's time to write, you write. You know, shut up and write.
Yeah.
I just gave away the secret.
All right, we've got someone on the line who I think would like to ask you a question, so I'm going to invite them in here and see what they have to say.
I didn't know I would get to talk to people.
Oh, you're live. Is this Jeffrey?
It is, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're live on the air with the one and only Natalie Goldberg.
Wonderful, Natalie Goldberg. I know, I'm thrilled. Thank you for bringing me on air. I wish this show could be about 6 hours long. Is that possible?
I'm sorry.
I don't think I can,
Natalie,
hold up.
I wanted to ask you about your retreats, and our mutual friend Melissa Studdard and I so want to come to France and spend time with you. What I wanted to ask you, by the way, wonderful interview. Always learn so much from you. What would you like that writer to come away from your workshop with? I mean, what's the essence of you want them to walk away from and come and really get the most from?
I want them to understand practice, to show up whether it's good or bad, whether you want to or not, that you keep doing it, that you steady yourself, and that you begin through that process to really meet yourself and to have a relationship with your own mind and see what you really see, think, and feel. And that's really the basis of a democracy, isn't it?
Yes.
How wonderful if everybody came from that place.
That's
and, you know, I know Melissa. I want
it's
to say,
like
I know Melissa, and she's wonderful.
Thing, and I share this with all of my writer friends, to be in the moment, stay in that moment.
Yes. Wow. And writing practice brings you into the moment, because it's easy to say be in the moment, but we mostly, our mind lives in discursive thinking, yada, yada, yada. So how do we get in the moment? Well, one of the ways is writing practice. It settles you. Settle the self on the self.
I love it. Jeff, what an excellent question.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you so much. No problem.
An excellent answer.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I didn't mean to cut you off. Well, it was an excellent answer. To settle the self on the self. I love that. It reminds me just a little bit of something James Joyce said, which was, that's a little bit, but love loved loves to love, I think he said.
Oh, my God. That is fantastic.
Isn't that good?
What was it in? Do you know? What book?
It might have been in Ulysses. I knew the quote, but I can't remember where I found it. I think I got it out of Ulysses. Love.
Could you say it again?
Yes. Love loved loves to love.
That's fantastic.
Isn't it? And I thought, yes, it's very true. It's very true.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have to tell you a very funny story. I'm going to make it quick if I can, but it has to do with the reason you're on this show. And I recently published this little book called Write Within Yourself, An Author's Companion. And it's a little collection of essays on writing and life and so on. Small book, quirky book, I guess. And I was going through what people go through when they published it, and were thinking, oh, no one's going to want to read it, and no one's going to buy it, blah, blah, blah. So I was doing that, and I'm sitting at my desk, and behind me is a bookshelf where Writing Down the Bones was shelved, but it wasn't a book I'd ever read. My wife had bought it years before, and I knew it was there, but I hadn't read it. And I looked to my right, and lying on top of a stack of books, too far to have fallen, by the way, was a 1986 copy of Writing Down the Bones. It was just sitting there on top of these books. I have no idea how it got there. No one in my family knows how it got there. But there it was. And I picked it up. I'd heard of it, but I'd never read it. So I started thumbing through it, and I said, oh, my God, this reminds me of my book, just in terms of its layout, in terms of the short chapters, because my chapters are very short, and the nature of what it was about. And then I saw that it sold all these copies, and I thought, it's possible. Why are you putting a limitation on yourself? And I didn't even know if you were still alive, Natalie. I Googled you immediately. I said, oh, she's still alive. Oh, my God, she's got a new book out. And now you're on the show. But
oh, how wonderful. Well, that's a great story. That's great. There are so many great stories about how people ran into Writing Down the Bones.
Yeah.
It's so beyond me. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's been out there in a wonderful way, and I'm very pleased about it.
You know what, I think too, and tell me what you think about this, that if I had known what it was, that I was better off not knowing what it was, because when I was writing these essays, I had the feeling, although some part of my intellect knew it wasn't true, but I had the feeling it didn't exist, and it must exist, and that's why I have to write them. Now, our books aren't identical, but they're like cousins, and if I had read yours, I might have done the thing we do, which is saying, well, it's already been done, so why bother, and yada, yada. And so somehow my ignorance of it allowed me to write with the feeling that nothing like this had ever been done before, which was actually useful.
Oh, that's a sweet feeling, and it's very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. It was useful to me.
Yes, it's useful for that. It's funny, when the book Bones first came out, people came up to me and said, you wrote my book. So it's sort of like that's a... So it was better that you didn't know that it had been written so you could express it again. Because it's ridiculous. Someone's written about love. Does that mean we can never write about love again?
I know. Well, and sometimes, yes. Yes, and I released this video called The Writing Spirit, which has like Ken Robinson and Richard Bach and Jan Martel all talking about writing and the spiritual connection to it. And the first comment on YouTube was, this has all been said before. And I thought, yeah, it has, but we've been saying it since Jesus and Buddha. It's going to keep being said and said and said and said and said because we can never hear this kind of stuff enough.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like, you have to drink water, but you drink one glass of water. You can't just drink one glass of water for your whole life. You have to keep drinking water.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of human life.
And also, the stuff that needs to be said when it goes through Natalie Goldberg is going to come out, hopefully, if you're authentic, will come out in its own unique way and shed some tiny new light on this thing we're all trying to understand, different than mine. And that's the value
exactly.
of it. Yeah?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Well, I had one more question, but the little bird just spoke into my ear to let me know that our time is just about up. Natalie, this went way too fast. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, this was just wonderful. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Remember, everybody, it's The True Secret of Writing. It's out there wherever fine books are sold. Are you touring around talking to people about it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I will be in Greenville, South Carolina, and Friday I'll be in Athens, Georgia, reading from my book.
All right. Well, if you're in North Carolina or Georgia, go see her. Natalie, thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
All right, everyone. Settle the self on the self. Let your writing be a practice to take you within yourself, to get to know yourself, your own mind. Well, I couldn't have said it any better. What a treat. What a treat for us all. Well, thanks for all for listening. Next week, I will be on Wednesday with literary agent, author, and writing teacher Donald Moss. That should be a lot of fun. Until then, write what you love, do what you love, because love, loved, loves to love. It's a true story.